the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Specials Podcast, another week of fantastic betting opportunities on The X Factor and on Strictly Come Dancing. We have got Reality Rob Dixon, the man who makes the prices, and we've got Andy Holding, the man who tries to break the prices. I don't know if that doesn't really make sense, guys, but, you know, just kind of came to me then. So, hello.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Is that all right? Okay, yeah. Fine, thanks. How you doing? All right?
All right, yeah, excellent. Pretty good.
We're in a new studio here, so I'm kind of getting used to it. It's very nice, and clean. I'm hoping we christen this new studio with a fantastic weekend of betting. The last two weekends, we've had some phenomenal prices. The weekend before last, Rob, when Rachel Riley was in the bottom two and Kingsland Road were in the bottom two, I think I'm right in saying that was a 16-1, 20-1 double that no one had. Then last weekend, we had Patrick in the bottom two, and we had Hannah in the bottom two, fours and 14s. Wow, there's some value kicking about.
Let's see if that coming.
No one did that either week, really. Let's have a look at Strictly though. First of all, well, the outrights, Natalie Gumaday is back into favourites at 7-4. Sophie Ellis-Bextor 15-8. So there's not a lot in it, as there wasn't last week when it was the other way around. Abby Clancy is the 9-2 third favourite to win the show. Ashley Taylor Dawson, the top guy, at 6-1. Susanna Reid 9-1. Ben Cohen 16-1. And we've got a prices of 66-1 for Patrick Robinson, 80s for Mark and Rachel, and 100s for Dave Myers, with Fiona Fullerton bringing up the rear at 150-1. Not a lot of change, guys, really, is there? We don't have to flog a dead horse and talk about the outrights again, but it's as you were, really, isn't it?
Yeah, nothing's changed this week, and I don't really see that much changing after this weekend. We know Natalie will probably set the tempo with a very good dance. She's probably going to get high score again, or very close to high score. She sets the standard. I actually think they're undermarking her, to be perfectly honest. I think they're really nitpicking and trying to make this as competitive as possible, the judges. I think the BBC execs have definitely got behind one or two of the others and trying to flag them up. I mean, Sophie Ellis-Bextor's cha-cha last week was appalling, and yet she managed to get a 30. Mm. I thought she put no effort into it. I thought she looked laboured. I mean, if that's the kind of standard of a 15-8 second favourite, or in some places favourite, to win this competition, then it just shows you that I think we could get a situation like we have had before, where the ones that the public want to win or trying to get behind because they're not perceived as the best dancer, that's the only way you could possibly make Sophie Ellis-Bextor a joint favourite, because on pure ability, she's a good 4-5 marks each week behind Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie is.
If you're just betting on pure...
Yeah, no viewer vote.
If it was just pure dancing, who's the best dancer at this stage? She should be 1-2.
Yeah.
But we know that there's definitely a hidden agenda behind and a little bit of a negativity surrounding Natalie this year, like there was with Denise last year, as we've said from the word go. Mm. But it's putting me off crashing into her at 7-4 when she should be. I know she should be a 4-7 shot.
She's 8-11 to be the highest scorer this week, Andy. Abby Clancy next in the betting at 9-4. Susanna Reid 7-1. Ashley Taylor Dawson 10s. So is Sophie Ellis-Bextor. Ben Cohen 20s and 28-1 and bigger the rest of them. Who's doing what this week? Have you got anyone who you can take Natalie on with?
Well, I mean, the trouble is with Natalie every week, you know she's going to get near enough 36.
You're looking for a dead heat at the minute, aren't you?
The only way that Rob can be saved, which he was last week, and quite right, you know, when you're putting an odds on shot, you've got probably one or two runners for you and just hope they pull you out of the bag. And, of course, last week he got saved by Abby Clancy with a really good dance as well. I thought Natalie was a bit unlucky, really, not to get more than what she did. I think she went out first, didn't she, first or second, and that could have had a contributory fact, but she's done to the Viennese waltz, which should suit her again. Very graceful, of course, Natalie. I actually think she's probably better, slightly better in the Latin than she's in ballroom. That's not taking anything away from the ballroom. On week one, she did the waltz, which is very similar to the Viennese waltz. There's just slightly more elaborate, isn't the Viennese waltz, with more turns and a more... you can actually go out of hold and do a little bit more with regards to lifts and a little bit of skirtography and stuff like that. But to do 34 in week one, you suggest she's going to probably better that. So again, you're looking at 35 and 36. So Rob going 8-11. You know, he's only really got one runner for him this week for me, and that's Abby Clancy, who's doing the rumba. Now, obviously Natalie did an unbelievably good run, but the other week she got 36. There's great connection and great fluidity between Aliash and Abbey. I think these two are very much coming up on the rails, and there's only been a couple of weeks where she's looked a little bit below par, but other than that, I think she's very much the slow burner of the tournament, and she's coming through really nicely. So what price is Abbey?
Abbey is priced up at, did I say it was 9-4, Rob?
9-4.
Yeah, 9-4, yeah.
Yeah, you could make a case out for Abbey this week. But I don't think, again, once again, she'll better. I think the only way that you're going to get anything out of your return for Abbey is a dead heat. So it's straight fight between the two. I don't think Sophie's got a good enough dance for her. She's doing the jive this week. Similar to the Chacho, I just don't think she's got the posture. She needs to keep straight legs as well, and she's got very, very bent legs and a soft knee as well, which I don't think is going to help her out in the flicks and kicks. I think she'll put on a polished display. I certainly think she'll do a better job than she did at Charles, than she did the Chacho, which is way overmarked. That should have been a 25, not a 30. But yeah, the rest are a million. It's a straight fight between the two. It's boring, but I've got to go with Natalie again. She's just by a million miles the best dancer on the show.
Well, I mean, you know, Rob, 8-11, it's not the worst price in the world, judging by what she's doing week in, week out. As Andy says, she's maintaining her consistency. It's others who are trying to reach her. 8-11, I think, I personally think that's a fair price.
Yeah, I think it's a strange one. I mean, we've had dead heats now. We had a three-way dead heat 2 weeks ago, the dead heat with Abbey last week. It's, as Andy says, are they trying to sort of just hold her back? This is the interesting bit. It's been an interesting week, really, in the markets. You could have actually backed Natalie on Wednesday to win strictly at 20-1 if you'd have been around the exchanges at a certain time.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
I noticed that. What happened, Rob? Because there was a bit of a knee-jerk to something that had gone on, whether it was in the press or Twitter or whatever, but yeah, I noticed there was a massive drift and a couple of firms actually took their prices down.
Yeah, what we sort of worked out was happened was it sort of started as a Twitter rumour, but there was some basis that she'd hurt her back again in practice, and I think they just aborted the training session a little bit early to sort of get her checked out and just make sure everything was all right. I mean, in the back of your mind, as Andy says, she is the best dancer. Nobody's really debating that. But once you take away, once you've got the sort of likability factor and stuff, the fact that she's had all this professional training from an early age, you've got this injury in the back of your mind. And the problem with back injuries is they do tend to flare up sort of when you least expect it. And
dancing every day probably doesn't help them either.
Exactly. All what you need is a back injury sort of late on Saturday, and she's struggling. But then she's done so much. You could never really see her in a position of being in the bottom two and them getting rid of her, unless there is a major problem in the dance off. Because surely they'd have to.
Oh no! You're talking about Natalie here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not even
in
worth.
The previous 5 weeks.
That's not even worth. Like, no. I mean, there's no way.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you can see why this 7-4 shot probably isn't a 4-7, which realistically it deserves to be.
Yeah,
I mean, going back to the highest score, it does look once again a straight fight between the two of them. I think Abby's done really well. There was quite a bit of money for Abbey after last week's show. She was 7-1 after last week's show, and I think obviously with a few more doubts over Natalie midweek, she's into 9-2. And to be quite honest, if it was a straight fight really between Sophie and Abbey, on what we've seen, Sophie's maybe had one or two good weeks at the start, but it's Abbey who, despite that first week, she fell back into the pack. But the last 2 weeks, she's been up there with Natalie, and I can't really see any reason why she's not up there with Natalie again from tomorrow night.
We haven't got a bottom two market as yet, but we've got elimination so we'll ask Andy his thoughts on the bottom two first of all. Andy, is there anyone who you think could slip in? We're looking for that little bit of value. There's been a bit of value. I mean, 4-1 wasn't massive last week for Patrick, but it was a nice price. Anyone who you think could struggle this week in terms of the bottom two? I'll give you the elimination prices because we've got them. Fiona Fullerton 5-2, Rachel Riley 11-4, Dave Myers 7-2, Patrick Robinson 5-1, Mark Benton 7s, Ben Cohen 14s, then 33-1 and bigger, the rest of them. Who's in bother this week, Andy?
Well, it's got to be Rachel again.
Yeah.
She was in bother a couple of weeks ago. She managed to get through last week. She did a much better dance, only marginally. She's not doing actually a bad dance.
A terrible score, didn't she? 22.
It was okay, but it was nothing special. I think she definitely got the old sympathy bounce, didn't she?
The interesting thing, Andy, is looking at her scores is that she went 27, 20, 27, 26, 22. So there are obviously certain dances that she really struggles with, aren't there?
Yeah, I think she'll be okay this week. I don't think she's going to make any too many slip-ups, but she's also not going to set the world alight. She's doing the American Smooth in a kind of Viennese waltz style. She's actually already done the waltz, which is one of her better dances. So I can see her getting that same kind of score again, round about the 25, 26 mark. But that's the problem, isn't it?
Yep.
It puts you into that dangerous floating middle ground, which obviously did for Patrick last week. The ones that people think they're safe and they're not on the bottom, so they're not voting for them, they're not trying to get him through to the week, the next week, like Dave and Mark, etc. And, you know, to be fair to Fiona, she pulled the rabbit out of the hat last week. I didn't think she was going to do any good at all, and that's why she was favouring backed accordingly. Yeah. But she managed to get 30, so it made her quite safe. And I think she'll be safe again this week, bizarrely, because she's doing the Charleston, and this is one of the big showcase dances, isn't it? Of the series, where you get a chance to do a Charleston, you if you're half decent at it, then you know, you've got a good chance of getting through. And she actually looks as though she's mastered the swivels and the pivots, and she looks to be doing quite a good job actually with Anton this week. And even though she's favourite to go, I actually think she'll get through because of the Charleston. I think it'll save her. It's obviously going to save Susanna as well, because she's also doing the Charleston. I don't think she's going to get anywhere near the bottom two. She should get around about 32. She's quite bubbly and bright, so that dance will suit her. Ben's got the Paso, which technically for him should be very good. I mean, he's a very strong, macho kind of matador character, and I think he's doing some good Kate work. And I think he's also coming along quite nicely as well. Christina's really working him quite well. I think he's always going to be the housewife's favourite, and he's going to poll plenty of votes. So, you know, I mean, Dave should go each week, shouldn't he? We know that. And he's doing the jive, which he's going to be all over the place, isn't he? You know, he's all over the place last week. He's going to get 20 or even below. But because he's so tragic and the public love him, he's going to keep getting through. So you are perming two or three together. You've got Patrick again, who's got the quick step, which is a very fast routine. And I think he's actually better in isolation than when he's actually in hold. So I think it's a straight fight this week between Rachel and Patrick. I think they're going to be in the bottom two. And it's which one of those two does the better dance. And Rachel against Patrick, I know I'd have my money on.
Yeah, Patrick to stay.
To stay, yeah. So it's got to be Rachel this week.
11-4, not a bad price. Rob, any thoughts on
those? Yeah, I can't really disagree. I mean, if you pace, it's strange. We were talking about the outright prices a minute ago, and Fiona's performance was probably better than Sophie's. There was only 1 point between them in the marking, and one's 15-8 and one's 150-1. So I think anybody who thinks that Fiona can survive a few more weeks, and maybe she can this week, then maybe the 150-1 might have a few little bits of legs, maybe as a sort of back to lay later on in the show. But yeah, Dave.
You won't believe he works for William Hill, would you, Andy, by the way?
No.
It's good advice, but...
Yeah, it's very good advice.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, Dave...
It's like Ralph didn't listen.
Dave's the interesting one for me this week. I just got this sneaky feeling. Do you remember when sort of Russell Grant got sort of billed up as the sort of comedy character of the show?
And that he'd come out of a cannon.
Yeah, they got him to the big Wembley show and got him coming out of the cannon, and that was the end. And I just wonder if sort of the way it works, then somebody like Dave would probably be tailored for a sort of big Halloween sort of performance. And I just wonder if this is the week when the public have finally said, well, he's had a few weeks.
Yeah. It's usually a little bit later than this, isn't it, when they go? I mean, who was it last year? Was it Richard Arnold who was the one who was... Was it Richard Arnold who was terrible last year? I'm trying to remember. He was the one who was a bit of a joke act, wasn't he, I think? And he lasted until week 7. Mm. He was getting 17s and 19s and 22s. Yeah,
I mean, without the stats, I'm not sure who's actually gone on Halloween week, because they've obviously done it. They do this week. This is one of their set weeks to do, isn't it? So it'd be interesting to know, sort of maybe going back through the people that have gone on Halloween, if there's any sort of...
Nancy Dallaglio went on Halloween week.
Yeah.
Audley Harrison was in the bottom two the season before last. And they were a couple of characters who weren't very good dancers. They were only in there for the fun of it, weren't they, really? The year before that, it was Tina and Jared. Who were? I mean, trying to remember the contestants' names is half the battle here. Tina O'Brien. She's a girl. She's a woman off. Is she an actress?
Coronation Street.
Yeah, Coronation Street actress. So yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. It's just the thing is with backing someone like Dave Myers is once you get on the wrong side of that bet, you want to back him every single week, and you're better off just leaving it alone, aren't you? And saying I've been chinned here.
There's almost a theory to have betting without Dave, because while he's still in it's very difficult to make a clear view each time, because you know that he's getting almost progressively worse, not better.
Yes.
And it just makes a mockery of the show, really, the fact that the worst dancer is always going to get through every week. So you're left basically trying to work out who's going to be second or third or fourth off the bottom, and those are the ones that are always going to go.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So that's my theory this week. I'm thinking, well, those three, it's got to be Mark, Rachel or Patrick, who are going to be two off the bottom, two or three off the bottom, and those are, whichever one is the least popular of those three will go.
Mm, okay, yeah, I get that. So bottom, if we had bottom two betting as well, you'd be looking at Patrick to join Rachel.
I'll say that's almost a certainty, one of those two, but definitely be in the bottom two in the dance off. Mm.
Can I just say there will be some bottom two up this afternoon?
Good man. Excellent. Yeah, I wasn't trying to press you into it, Rob.
No, I did much. Actually. You know what? I was looking at the markets and thinking, what market have not I done?
You also haven't done when a 10 will be. When there'll be a 10?
The first 10
of the series.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yes, I will.
Because it's going to come soon, isn't it? It's either going to be this week or the next couple of weeks. But yeah, with regards to bets, I mean, I'm just going to... The only way for me to make money out of this is just to keep backing Natalie, because I don't think there's much mileage in the 7-4, because I think she'll be derailed at some stage, rather unjustifiably. So while she's still in the show and she's still the best dancer, just keep backing her to be top score most weeks, and hopefully should show profit by the final.
Yeah, fair news. Can't argue with that.
That's my kind of strategy.
Yeah, very good. Just before we finish talking about Strictly, to let everyone know that the winner of the £10 free bet last week was Craig at KK Lindemans on Twitter. He correctly told us, along with a few others, that Jill Halfpenny was the first celebrity contestant to score a perfect 40 in Strictly Come Dancing. But we all knew that, didn't we?
We knew that.
This week's free bet question coming up at the end of the chat about X Factor. But we'll let Andy get off and get on with his day job. And we'll speak to you next week, Andy.
Yeah, keep bigging Sam up as well.
Will do. Don't you worry about that.
In the fan club.
Don't worry about that. It's me and you versus Robin this one.
Yeah, we'd love to see Sam win it. She's certainly the best singer anyway.
Yeah, indeed. Thanks, Andy.
Good stuff.
Good luck this weekend.
Good luck.
Andy Holding there with his chat about Strictly. Rob's going to carry on with me talking about X Factor. Our little bit of antagonism got him going last week, Rob.
Didn't we? We managed to...
So much so that I've banished you from the studio this week.
Can we call it friendly banter?
Of course it's friendly banter.
You've not even told me... Not only banished me from the studio this week, you've not even told me where the studio is. If I ever become unbanished.
Yeah, you won't find that out, I'm afraid. That's how it goes. How it goes. X Factor then, let's have a look at this. Plenty going on, as we saw Hannah in the bottom two last week. Suddenly got pretty interesting. The outrights, first of all, Tamira Foster, 6-4. Nicholas McDonald, 5-2. Sam Bailey, 4-1. Luke Friend, 12-1. 12-1 rough copy. Hannah Barrett, 16-1. Kingsland Road, 25-1. Abby Alton, 50-1. And Sam Callahan, 50-1. The biggest mover there, and you could tell by the tone of my voice, was Luke Friend. Not often I get things, you know, even half right, Rob, but backed him at 50s about 2 weeks ago, and he's become everyone's friend since then. Everyone loves him all of a sudden.
It's been a very, very good 2 weeks for him. Really good performances, shows a different range that a few of them, I think, are struggling with, and good judges' comments. And I mean, I've backed him the last 2 weeks. I've actually backed him to be in the bottom two, and I think his votes have definitely gone up, and he hasn't, for me, not looked in any real danger of getting in the bottom two. In fact, you could say that he's probably now an outside bet to for maybe a top three, top four finish.
Yeah, interesting one. Let's look at the other markets then, shall we, this weekend? Because, I mean, to be fair, we're not skipping over it, but it's as it is, isn't it? Tamira Foster, she looks like the winner. I mean, look, I tweeted last week, Rob, that I kind of felt I could fall asleep for 6 weeks. I'd woken up and she was winning because of the staging and everything about her. They want her to win, it seems. They want Rough Copy to do very well. Sam Bailey's obviously got the best voice, you know, and the best overall package, you could argue. So that's why she's there. And, you know, and Nicholas McDonald has got the support of Scotland, you presume, behind him. So they are, the outrights are as they are. There's nothing wrong with them. The prices are all pretty fair, so there's no point in really dwelling on that. Like, yeah, a bit like Strictly, really, isn't it? Not much change.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where you'd... I mean, I think, personally, I've got this feeling that Tamira might be in for a little bit of a rough ride coming up, but I think at 6-4, she is the best singer there. It's a little bit different to the Natalie situation. I think the 6-4... is the price it is. I think with Natalie, you look at the 7-4 and think it's an ability a lot better. But I think with Tamira, there is a bit of background baggage, which is sort of holding her back, probably getting a little bit shorter. But the problem with Tamira is you can't really make a really strong case for any of the other runners at the moment. There's so much sort of negativity, the songs. I mean, every week you just look at sort of five or six of them and just think that they're really sort of fodder for the show, really. You can probably pretty much make your top three in the betting, I think, will be your top three on finals night, and I think the rest are just sort of just moving slightly each week as which one is going to sort of be in the bottom two and ultimately which one goes. I mean, this Dynamix, as soon as they were up on Saturday night, that was their call. That was the only chance that they had of escaping. And you think maybe if maybe a Sam Callahan or somebody had got in the bottom two, it would have made it a little bit closer. But as soon as Hannah Barrett came out in the bottom two, Hannah by far and away better than Miss Dynamix, and they went.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the other markets then. Let's start with Axe in the bottom two. First of all, we've got the bottom on Saturday. We've got First Act Announced Safe. I think I'm right in saying Rough Copy have won that market 2 weeks running. Let's start with bottom on Saturday first of all. Abby Elton 5-2, Kingsland Road 11-4, Sam Callahan 3-1, Hannah Barrett 8-1, Rough Copy 9s, 12s Luke Friend, 33 Sam Bailey, Tamira Foster and Nicholas McDonald is 40-1. The flash vote put Miss Dynamix at the bottom of that vote on Saturday. I mean, it's hard to know where Abby Elton's supporters are coming from. What we're talking here, of course, if you're new to this, if you haven't really grasped what the flash vote is about, it's a kind of less than 10 minutes at the end of the Saturday show for people to vote for their favourite act. The one with least votes gets binned into the bottom, and they will be singing for their futures on the X Factor show on the Sunday night. So you're looking for an act, in my opinion, who haven't got any basic support and who might be quite forgettable on the night. Fair?
Yes, yeah. Very fair.
Abby Elton, justifiable favourite, Kingsland Road. They had the bounce last week. You wonder if they can keep those voters. I'm not so sure they can, because as we've seen, Sam Callahan's got some pretty strong base level support. Hannah Barrett, maybe not. But I think people will be motivated to vote for her again this week. And she's got a cracking song, actually. She's got Somebody Else's Guy, which is a brilliant song. If you don't recognise it from that, it's a kind of one of those 90s kind of disco songs that you will recognise as soon as you hear it. I think she'll be all right this week, Rob. Rough Copy, they seem to have some phenomenal support out there from high places as well. Luke Friend, I mean, 12-1, his price is shortened in the outrights, yet he's got bigger in this market as well. He's singing Play That Funky Music, great song, you can see him doing that pretty well. Who are you thinking?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? I've sort of got this completely wrong. To be fair, I've got the eliminations completely wrong, but the sort of last 2 weeks where I've been trying to look for value, and I don't know, it's difficult. I mean, you look at Abby and you think, well, the last 2 weeks she's been the poorest act, yet she's avoided the bottom two. There is definitely a lot of fan support out there, but is it genuine people want to see Abby win, or is it because you feel that the judges are sort of just picking on her, probably rightly so in a way, and you just think, well, if the judges really go for her again for a third week, is that going to sort of really push her supporters? If they want her, I've always said this. If they want rid of somebody, just give them good comments.
That's what I'd like to predict right here, right now. That's what will happen to Abby Alton this week.
Which will
I
get
think,
good comments.
Yeah, I think she'll sing her song, which is "I Will Survive." Which, I mean, you know, we know how she's going to sing it. She's not going to get up there and do a disco number, is she? She's going to somehow she's going to put her own spin on it, and I just don't think it will work. But I think they'll give her some great comments this week, and I think that's what will put her in danger. I'm not saying she'll be bottom on Saturday, but I mean, she's going to be my bet to go on Sunday.
Yeah,
I think we even money bottom two. Yeah, maybe
we both sort of backed her last week, didn't we? Under the idea that. It's you wonder for 1 week that there was a sort of 1 week bounce from the negative comments. The negative comments came again. I just think
she's in bits.
You don't know what sort of situation there is. Obviously, I think with Miss Dynamics, it was sort of they wanted to sort of end it quite quickly. I think for them, I think
yeah, it needed to end, didn't it?
The sort of the situation with the pregnancy and everything, and I think had they not sung the second week, I think they would have gone the previous week. So I think it was only a matter of time before they went. Abby, there's been some negative publicity again this week, but she's not been getting on with people in the house. She seems a very sort of emotional, sort of fragile character, and you just wonder if the time is really up now for Abby. But saying that, the other side of the coin, that if she can belt out "I Will Survive," which I think is a sort of, I don't know, it's one of those numbers where I remember Wagner singing "Creep" that week after all the all the negative publicity. I think for somebody struggling, "I Will Survive" is probably quite a good number to at least try.
So
she takes it. It's not going to be a disco number. I can see it being quite a slow version of the song. So it comes with a caveat, I think, that if the judges decide to give a good sort of comments and feedback this week, I think in a reverse sort of way, that's the time you want to be backing her to go.
Yeah. Do you know who the last person to sing "I Will Survive" was on X Factor?
No. Is that a quiz question this week?
No, it's not. It's similar though. It's on the same vein. It was Diva Fever. They sang it as they were in the bottom two, and they sang it as their song. And they were
first week,
and they were eliminated second week. I think it was.
Yeah,
they were eliminated on the strength of their performance of that. So yeah, not so good. No. I'll give you the question in a little while, but it's on a similar vein to that one. Yeah, so I could see that. I mean, let's have a quick look at the other markets surrounding this. Then fourth elimination: Abby Alton 2-1, Kingsland Road 5-2, Sam Callahan 3-1, Hannah Barrett 6s, Rough Copy 7s, Luke Friend 14-1, Nicholas McDonald, Sam Bailey and Tamira Foster are all 66s. The bottom two market has Abby Alton as the even money favourite, Kingsland Road 11-10, Sam Callahan 11-8, Rough Copy 5-2, Hannah Barrett 11-4, Luke Friend 4-1, 14s to Tamira Foster, 25s for Nicholas McDonald and Sam Bailey. I think Kingsland Road and Abby Alton are in bother. I just don't see where Kingsland Road's... I think that bounce will have gone. I think all the... I don't know. I'm just not having them to. I think all the younger girls would rather vote for Luke Friend, who's becoming more and more popular, Sam Callahan, and maybe Nicholas McDonald. They're singing Blame It on the Boogie, which, you know, on the face of it, you think to yourself, well, that's a good song for them. You know, they're a boy band, they can sing it, but it's such a good song. I don't know if they can mask their inefficiencies by just getting up there and dancing and belting it out. And I imagine it's quite a hard song to sing. It's quite a quick song. And obviously it's sung by one of the greatest boy bands, in inverted commas, of all time. The harmonies are terrible. They aren't very good, these lads.
I think it's a quick song, and anything that shows up their vocals for what they are isn't going to be very good. The one that I've noticed this, really from Twitter this week, but Kingsland Road have been trending every night this week. I don't know if that's the only sort of thing that I've got to get them to avoid the bottom two. It's actually becoming a very, you just touched on it really, it's becoming very interesting, these, I've sort of, after being ridiculed last week for tipping up Sam Callahan and being told that I've got thousands of Twitter followers.
Who was ridiculing you?
Other people and you.
I didn't ridicule you. I just told you were wrong.
Right, that's okay.
And proved right.
But, well, there you go.
Not just you either. Not just you. Other people on Twitter seem to want to argue that case. But I just think it's fairly obvious, isn't it? We've watched this show. Not on Sam Callan, but just in general. We've watched this show for how many years? And everyone seems to forget people seem to forget the rules of the show year in, year out. Why? What changes from year to year?
Can I then make a point on this, right? If Kingsland Road have been trending the last few nights, Twitter, Luke Friend's performance last week, probably the performance of the week, I think he's getting a lot more followers. He's getting a lot more followers on the back of that. Does this mean now that Sam becomes in danger with the other two doing relatively better?
Rob, is why we shouldn't rely too much on Twitter. We've been stung by this year in, year out. We use Twitter quite a lot, but it's only it's only a percentage of the total X Factor audience who use Twitter. Isn't it?
I just wonder if
I mean, how much does it take to trend something? We could probably get something trending this afternoon if you wanted to.
I don't think we could.
We could. Your influence, you could. Don't do yourself down.
I could get something trending because I'm obviously quite a big fish, but I
couldn't. I meant us together. Me leaning on you.
Yeah, maybe. But I just think
I get your point. Yeah.
I just think the time is turning now for Sam, where he's now got to back up this support with performances. I think when you get towards the end, you've got that joint of support and the performances get you through. I just think with Sam, Luke's now gone above him. Nicholas was obviously quite a long way above him. But
I mean, hang on. You say these things like the fact, though, Rob. How do you know that Luke's gone above him, apart from the bookmaker's odds?
No, I'm basing it on performance.
But year after year, we know that performance is irrelevant, though, Rob. Performance is irrelevant. It is.
Every year.
Because Ryland was crap every week last week. Wagner was crap every week. So was Jedward.
I don't think this is a... I think those three, I think they are more an anti-Simon Cowell vote than a...
It's not an anti-Simon Cowell vote, is it? It's not necessarily that he wasn't on the show at the time. And I know he's connected to the show. I get what you're saying. But I think it was more the fact that it's a bit of fun. It's something to get involved in. I don't think it's an anti-vote in any way, shape or form. I just think it's entertainment. And I'm not saying Sam Callan is one of those guys. But what I'm trying to say is that the more that again, the same argument you made with Abby Elton, the more that they criticise him, the more his followers and his fans are more likely to vote for him. So if on Saturday, and I'm not saying if on Saturday night they praise him to the hills, then that's probably the time to look at Sam Callan. If they start criticising his voice, you know, and again, he's not got an easy song necessarily. He's got Relight My Fire, which is obviously is synonymous with Gary Barlow, and Take That. You know, so he can open himself up to some criticism here, and we've seen other people sing Take That songs and be criticised on the show because of it. So he could get a bit of a lashing from Gary Barlow, and as we saw last year, if Gary Barlow is the Simon Cowell of the show now, so if he criticises someone, people will back their man. That's what I'm trying. That was my whole point on Twitter last week, which no one seemed to understand or take any notice of. So you've got to wait for the show.
Yeah, I think that's. I do take your point on that. I just think people are now going above him, and I just think that makes Sam Bonner. Maybe he doesn't go this week. I think there are two. To me, bigger cases to go.
Yeah, Abby Elton just can't have that support. Where is it? Where is it hiding if she has got that support? You know, we don't know how much she beat Hannah Barrett by on Saturday. She might have beaten her by 10%. She might have beaten her by 0.01%. We don't know, do we? There's no way we'll ever find that out until the end of the show. Yeah. So we're kind of taking it on trust. That we're kind of thinking, you look at her Twitter followers, you look at her Facebook pages, you look at YouTube views, and it's pretty... And you look at her face when she's performed, she looks a bag of nerves. It's like...
I honestly think it just comes down to the negative comment from the judges. She reminds me, she's not one of those one of those acts. I can't remember the name of the girl. She went quite early last year. She was very good, but it was one of those where she didn't really stand out as a performer, and she went sort of probably about this sort of week in the show. And it just seems that I don't know with Abby. I just think the negative publicity driving her people to vote for her. And I think if Kingsland Road's trending, if Abby Alton's getting that push from the negative comments, once somebody's vulnerable, maybe going back to Hannah Barrett again, maybe Hannah Barrett's vulnerable, but she should, based on her positions, she's actually due a sort of half-decent position this week. So somewhere later in the show should help her. Rough copy, maybe. I mean, vocally, they're not as strong as I thought they would be at the start. But
this week, they're singing September, which is a great song, and I think it'll suit them very well.
Earth, Wind and Fire, isn't it?
Yeah.
The
thing about them, Rob, I can't get my head around Rob with them, and I like them. You know, I'm not. I don't agree with you in terms of they've got poor voices. I think, you know, they're obviously not brilliant by any stretch of the imagination, no. But they're decent. If you watch Twitter on while X Factor's on, they have got a strangely high amount of celebrity followers.
Yeah.
Why is that? They're not celebs themselves. I mean, no. They might move in those kind of circles, which is fine, but I can't believe how many people are tweeting like good luck messages to them who've got, yeah, you know, 250,000 followers, you know, half a million followers. It's weird.
That's a massive thing, isn't it? If somebody like, I can't remember now, I know when James Corden was on the show a couple of weeks ago and stuff, and he was very sort of pro rough copy, and you think that translates into votes. But the problem is with those groups is there isn't a standout group. There's not... You look in previous years, you've seen a Little Mix. Obviously, Little Mix they got quite big public support towards the end of the show, but One Direction, JLS, there's none of that. Miss Dynamics weren't very good last week and went. Kingsland Road vocally aren't very good. Rough Copy have basically become this sort of alpha group through the other two's inability to sing properly, I think, more than anything, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think they were vulnerable, but I think the Earth, Wind and Fire song will actually suit them. I mean, Tamira's an interesting one again this week. It's disco week, yet she's singing
Wishing on a Star,
another cover bit by Beyonce. So you'd expect there's got to be some sort of negative comments coming from that, but once again, she kept herself in this comfort zone. She's going to keep doing this Beyonce number. Sam Bailey singing Enough is Enough.
She's going to absolutely belt that out, isn't she? You can just imagine her stomping the stage and doing that one really well.
It's fair. Sharon knows completely 100% what she's doing. Every single song. Yeah. The Celine Dion numbers.
Yeah.
This one.
Playing to the crowds.
Yeah, absolutely playing to the crowds. Yeah. Whether somewhere down the line they will want her to do something different.
She's doing something different every week.
Yeah, I know she's doing something different every week.
it's just popular.
It's a continual, powerful ballad sort of number.
It's like you're like one of them people who criticises a guy who scores goals, you know, scores 30 goals a season but doesn't do anything else, and you go, oh, all he does is score goals. All she does is belt the song, belt popular tunes out every week.
She does what she does very, very well. No. Doubt about that whatsoever.
It's that kind of Christopher Maloney thing where people wondered, oh, how's he staying in? It's because they are the songs that people listen to on the cheesy radio stations.
I think Sam is very talented.
Can I just say I wasn't likening Sam Bailey to Christopher. What I was saying was people were wondering why he was staying in. It's because people up and down the country listen to cheesy radio, local radio stations who play that really popular music. That's what she's singing. People love it. Yeah,
definitely. And you see the things. I mean, I've watched her. I think it's that Gogglebox, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's always on that every week. And it's absolutely brilliant. And
that's a great... By the way, that is a better indicator than Twitter.
Yeah. Because there's people watching on telly, and the comments are true, aren't they? The fact that everyone's singing along to her and everything, and they're easy songs to sing.
Yeah,
she's got that sort of real sort of likability. I don't know. I don't want to use the word karaoke, but there is that sort of element to
the song choices.
Song choices.
Yeah, people enjoy it, don't they? People love singing along to that sort of stuff. That's a great point. It is that. Yeah. Just finish off the rest of the songs that people are singing. I think we've mentioned most of them. The one that we haven't mentioned so far is Nicholas McDonald with Rock With You. Interesting song choice, that one, because that's not an easy song to sing. I mean, he's got a great voice.
Which one is that? I'm presuming
it's the Michael Jackson version, Rock With You. But
they're not going to use the other. I
presume it is. I mean, we don't know until the night, do we? But I was guessing that's what it would be. So
go on. No. That may be a little bit out of his comfort.
Yeah, it could be. It could be
somebody that they sort of adding this sort of Bublé, Leon Jackson crooning type number, but to come out of his comfort zone. But I mean, if he nails that, then he's in with a chance. I think Tamira will sing the song very well, but I could just see maybe somebody, your Gary Barlow and maybe Louis, getting on the is this a disco number? You know, when he's always complaining that the song's not in the in the style. I mean, it's not a disco song. I'm not buying into the fact that it's a disco song. And I just think that there might be that sort of a little bit of negative publicity for Tamira.
So, all right. So because we've had some surprises recently, Rob, should we pick a surprise bottom two candidate and then someone who we think will be eliminated?
Yep.
You want to do that?
Yep.
I can go first if you like. I'm gonna chuck in there a 25-1. It's ludicrous, this, really, but just for the sake of it, Nicholas McDonald bottom two. And I'm going Abby Alton to go after being praised to the hilt by the judges. after they've given us some positive comments.
I did say to somebody actually on Twitter earlier that there could be a surprise in the bottom two, but I mean
that would be a standout. So I'm not saying that'll happen, but I'm just saying I'm picking one out. You know,
yeah, I mean, a ton about it. We've seen the last 2 weeks, haven't we? We've seen a 14-1 and I think it was 12-1 and a 14-1 last 2 weeks.
So 25 is probably getting a bit greedy, if I'm being honest. But
I mean, bottom two, I was looking. I've mentioned cases. I'm just going to go for Hannah Barrett again. Bottom two, I'm just not overly convinced. I know she's going to get a later slot, but I don't know. I just think there's some reason that she's not connecting with the public, which put her in danger last week. And I just think,
do you know one of the reasons she's not connecting with the public, Rob? She's not as good as everyone says she is. She's not that good.
I mean, I've got a sneaky feeling you can say that about quite a lot of them.
But she's been hyped beyond her. I think people have been saying, oh, she's amazing. She's not that good. When you look back at previous contests, she's not as good as some others. And she doesn't have that confidence about her that Tamira has. Tamira looks a superstar. Hannah Barrett just looks like a girl who's got a decent voice.
Yeah.
You know, there's a country mile between those two in terms of quality.
Hannah Barrett, for me, 11-4. If you've gone for Abby Alton, then I'm going to oppose you and go Kingsland Road.
Okay.
But I can understand.
Yeah.
I can understand the case.
I think the general advice from us would be, should you need it, is that, you know, watch those comments carefully. We think basically that, you know, Sam Callaghan, Kingsland Road, Abby Alton are the three in danger of being, you know, in danger the most. And if one of them happens to get really positive comments, that might just dull the need for the fans to vote. That's the ethos we're thinking of this week, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't it?
I think it's one of those weeks. I mean, obviously we offer in play in running all the way up to the final vote on the Sunday. So, I mean, plenty of time to sort of change your mind during the course of the evening. The negative comments have definitely been sort of helping the vulnerable acts in the last few weeks. So then that's probably quite a good play.
Rob, thank you very much for those little chats. Just a quick mention of some of the other bits and pieces we've got on the console. Apologies, we don't do much more, but we spend 40 minutes talking about these two shows. I'm a Celebrity Outright's on there. We can talk about that a little bit more next week, can't we? I'll run through the prices quickly now.
A week on Sunday or a week on Monday. I haven't had it confirmed. I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but it will be. We will be able to talk about it a bit more next week.
The question before everyone goes, I know you're hanging on for it. Which act was the last act to sing Blame It on the Boogie on X Factor? This week it's Kingsland Road. Which was the last act to sing Blame It on the Boogie on X Factor? Give us your answer at Lee Phelps on Twitter. We'll close the lines, if you like, on Monday at midnight. So get your answers in. I'll pick one out at random from the correct answers and reveal it on Tuesday. And you will win a £10 free bet straight from Big Reality Rob's pocket to spend on next week's Reality Markets. So get your answers in before Monday at midnight. Which act was the last act to sing Blame It on the Boogie on X Factor? Answers in to Twitter at Lee Phelps. Thanks, Rob.
Cheers.
And thanks to Andy Holden as well. We'll be back next week. If you haven't bet on any of the specials markets this weekend, then very good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.